If you've got your Bibles, turn to James chapter 4. We'll get there in a few minutes. I got up this morning before my alarm went off.
Wow. Before the alarm went off.
Yeah. Well, I ran out of sleep. I just didn't have any more in me, so I got up. Although, have you ever had that feeling that, yeah, I know it's time to get up, but I don't want to? You mean other people besides me have that? The bed was warm. It was comfy. The alarm hadn't gone off yet. And that's when I realized, wow, if I get up now, I can exercise. Nah. Let's just lay here. Now, I have a question for you. It'll tie into what I just talked about in a little bit here. Have any of you ever done something stupid and afterwards thought, I know better than that? None of you, just maybe one or two. Okay. Yeah, I've done that quite a few times in my life. It's like, what was I thinking? I know better than that. I want to talk today about knowing better. Knowing better. And my goal isn't to make us feel stupid because we should know better. That's not my goal at all. My goal is to bring us to a place where we know better. Like experience better. One of the words in the, you know, original language in the Greek is, you know, one's kind of an awareness and the other one is an experience. I want to experience better. How about you? You want to experience better? Is there better out there to be experienced? Well, I'm going to tell you, not everybody always wants to experience better. You're aware of that, right? Like, there are times when people are just like, oh, yeah, this is okay. Have you ever been around someone who didn't really want to experience better? Oh, yeah, this life's okay the way it is. I'm just happy. You ever been around anybody like that? Why should I go out of my way to experience better? Heck. Life's good. I got a pickup truck. There's some holes in it where the rust come through. Yeah, I got a rifle in the gun rack behind my head and a truck, and I got a dog, and, you know, we hunt squirrel, and we have a good time. I only talk like that because that's where I grew up. There were some people who just, yeah, this is good. Better's not important. Really, the real question still comes back to, what does God want for us? What does God really want for us? And am I getting what God wanted for me? God created me. I'm not an accident. He created me for good things. So James chapter 4, if you're there, look at verse 13. It says, now listen, you who say, tomorrow we will go do this or that. We will go to this or that city. Spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. How many of you are aware of that? Boy, have we lived that the last couple of years? Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. To him who knows to do good and does it not, the King James Version says, it is sin. So he mentions that life is short, and we experience that. And the older you get, the shorter it seems. How many of you have noticed that? It just goes faster and faster and faster. And you're like, wait a minute. That kid's getting married? They were just in the nursery last week. I mean, as a baby. Not helping out. You know, those things happen to us. And we feel it. Now, if you're younger, this may not feel like it applies to you as much, but trust me, you're going to blink and you're going to be old like me. It was just a couple of days ago. I was 14. Seems like it anyway, doesn't it? Yeah, life goes fast. So life is short. And so while we're living, we should make the most of it. How many think that's a good plan right there? Yeah. And God gave us this life. I think we should do everything that he wanted us to have in this life. So here's the truth. I just don't have time for stupid. But I've done a lot of it anyway. I've done a lot of stupid. Now, as you know, I have mentioned it even in the last few weeks as we've been kind of relooking at some foundational things that we talk about a lot here in the church. And we've just been refreshing everybody and trying to remind everybody. And you, most of you know, and many of you heard a message that I did. Actually, I did it back in, November 15th of 2020. It's still available online, and it's called Sin is Stupid. You might want to revisit that, because there's some good stuff in that message. In fact, I looked over my notes, and I went, huh, you said that. That's pretty amazing. Not that I'm amazing, but sometimes God gives me stuff. At least you hope so, right? That's the plan, Pastor. You're supposed to get stuff from God. So today, I want to encourage us to do things that lead to the abundant life that God wanted us to have. John 10:10. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Just before that, by the way, it says the thief does not come but to steal, kill, and destroy. So there's a thief out there who wants to mess your life up, and he wants you to cooperate with that program, because he can't really mess your life up unless you cooperate with the program, unless I cooperate with the program. He can't mess my life up. But sometimes I do cooperate with the program. And sometimes I sin, or as I like to say, I get stupid. In recent days, I've been noticing that there are things that I let into my life that are a hindrance to that very life. I have also noticed that certain things that I do, because they hinder me, they limit me, and they keep me from stuff that I really would like to have. And that got me thinking. Can I give you a couple of examples? Because in my message, Sin is Stupid, the essence of it is God has good things for us. When we sin, we short-circuit the good things that God has for us, settling for something less than what God's got for us. And there's a lot more to it. It's worth going back and checking out. And again, it's available. So let me testify to a couple of things. All right? You ready? Over the last, I don't know how many months, quite a while now, in fact, I've been avoiding caffeine. Now, I remember working at Kroger Warehouse when I was 19 years old. And I would sometimes work overnight unloading trucks that were usually coming back. They called it salvage, and they were coming back from stores just with pallets and oftentimes spoiled food and sometimes rats and occasionally a person. Oh, yeah, we had that. You know, you're in a trailer and you're pulling out some stuff and just junk that they threw back in the trailer, and they sent it back. You know, most of it's skids. They want us to have the skids to reuse, and you lift up a skid and there's some guy behind it. Nice homeless man. Scares both of you. It was a pretty wild place to work sometimes. I remember lifting a skid and having a rat run off the top of the skid down my back. And I yelled rat because that was our responsibility to make sure if a rat did run out of the trailer that we had golf clubs and ball bats. Yeah, we did. We went rat hunting then. It usually didn't do any good. But that was fine because there were things in the warehouse called rat runs, and there were lots of traps and stuff there. So, you know, that was a constant thing. Aren't you glad that Kroger has a warehouse where they're careful not to let the rats just kind of come in and chew on the stuff before they ship it to you? Back then, it was a big deal. Still is. But I tried to use caffeine back then to keep me awake. It failed. I never have understood the people who drink the caffeine drinks, you know, to keep them awake, or the mega caffeine dosage drinks. Never have understood. Doesn't do anything for me. Doesn't keep me awake. But I was doing some studying, and I found out that while it doesn't keep me awake, it also screws up my sleep, which then makes me more tired, so I take more of it, but it really doesn't help because it only makes me more tired because my sleep patterns are knocked out of whack in my sleep schedule. And some of you will remember, I actually preached a message on this. Does anybody remember me preaching on sweet sleep? The scripture says, God giveth his beloved sleep, Psalm 127. So again, that's still available too, if you want to go back and catch up. So I did a sleep study. I studied about sleep and read a few books. And I found out that if you can get caffeine out of your life, you'll sleep more normal. And you know what happens as a result of sleeping more normal? You wake up without an alarm. Sometimes. Might depend on my day too, how hard I work physically. So I've been avoiding caffeine. And after learning some of the benefits of sleep and the science behind it, some of those things like that, I decided that I needed to make some changes. And one of them was I just decided I'm not going to do caffeine. And I think it's helping me sleep. I really do believe that it helps me have a better sleep pattern and have those different phases of sleep that you're supposed to have, and they don't get as interrupted. And the guy who wrote one of the books, it's really funny, I saw him actually speaking, and he said how horrible it was to be him because he had to go tell people that sleeping or caffeine is something you need to get rid of if you really want to sleep good. Just get rid of it. If you're going to drink it at all, he said, drink it first thing in the morning and then don't touch it again. But he said, it'll still be in your system at midnight, messing you up. And then he said, oh, and by the way, don't drink wine and don't do drugs. Like a lot of people think if they take certain drugs, it'll help them sleep. And he says, yeah, that has the opposite effect and it begins to build up and then you don't sleep well. But I won't go back and preach that again too. So I decided that I wanted my life to be better, and I decided that I would stop doing something that wasn't making my life better. Does that make sense? Like if you can stop doing something, it makes your life better. Now, I've got a whole lot of people who are caffeine drinkers who really love their coffee, and you're hating me right now. Go ahead. Hate me. I can take it. There are all sorts of people who like certain things, and I can get away with this. It's easier for me than it is for you because I never liked coffee. Does anybody else not drink coffee besides me and my wife? Oh, wow. There's more of you than I expected. I thought coffee was the universal love language. I didn't realize that there were more people who didn't drink it. So, yeah. So one of those changes for me, and by the way, we talked about this a while back concerning sin. People tell me I don't preach on sin. It's really funny because I do a lot. You know, what is sin to one person is not always sin to another. There's some scripture on that too. You know, God will require some things of me that he might not require of you. So don't get overly zealous for this, but I'm just talking about doing stuff that might be stupid for you. Like it might be a sin for you. So I decided that I didn't need to do it, and I think my life is a little bit better. And there is, like I said, science to back it up. If you'd like to see the science, I can produce it for you. What I can tell you that is that when we know to do good, that is something better than we were doing before, and we don't do it, that's stupid. Or sin. Because sin is stupid. Right? Does that make sense? I know that if I do this, I'll be better off, but I just keep doing the other thing or something, not doing the thing I know to do. Now, I'm not telling us again any of this to make us feel bad. I'm trying to get you to a point where you might go, I wonder. I was also having a lot of issues with my voice. Some of you may remember me having little coughing fits up here on the platform, and I'm having almost zero coughing fits now. And I figured out what was associated with my singing voice being problematic, and I found out it was pop. Pop dries me out, dries out my vocal cords. Not good for me. So I quit drinking pop almost all the time. I'll have one now and then, but I almost never drink pop. Just stopped, and it was no fun. I hate plain water. I know water has to be in everything, but by itself, it just isn't good. Don't love water. Don't hand me a water and say, yeah. Now, if I'm really thirsty, if I've been working hard outside, how many know water can taste really good at times? I remember having a weird experience right after I had COVID, too, where water tasted so good for some reason. Really tasted amazing. But I'm not a plain water guy. And my wife and I, you know, visit with people and eat out, and I meet people out places. And so I've now got this habit of carrying a little squirt bottle of non-caffeine tea stuff that I can squirt in a glass of water. I'm irritated by it, though, because I go to McDonald's, it's $1.07 for a large pop, but it's $1.07 for a large water, too, and I'm not paying for anything. I'm just getting water. And I have to fill it with something. It's like, oh, shouldn't have to pay $1.07 because I'm cheap. And I've noticed that restaurants don't have alternatives to caffeine-free drinks unless they've got sugar in them, and I'm trying to avoid the sugar too. So it's like it's hard to go someplace sometimes and get a drink, so I carry this little, slip it in my pocket of my coat, have one in the car, one in the van, and I take them with me because I've had to change my lifestyle because I don't want to have a problem with my voice. Because you may have noticed I talk a lot. Anybody notice that? Yeah, no? Not just here. Sometimes when I'm with you, you've noticed too, right? Because I can preach to one. I don't have any trouble preaching. I can preach to one. I can preach to 100. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I like to share thoughts. And I like to sing. And if it's not affecting your singing voice, you know, Mark, this may not be for you. You can maybe drink all the Mountain Dew you want. Get up there and just, and sing. But, you know, the Mountain Dew is supposed to be the one with the most caffeine, right? I don't know. But I know to do good. I know if I stop doing the pop that my voice will be better, and that's good for me, and so I've stopped. Because for me not to do it is just stupid. Does that make sense? Okay, good. For several years now, another testimony, I've been working out. Yeah. It's not a massive, you know, it's not a massive Hulk, Pastor Hulk. No, it's not one of those. You know, I'm not gonna get big muscles. Not gonna happen. I don't think that's the kind of thing I'm doing. It's mainly a workout just so I keep moving my body. That was what I did it for. And by the way, if you look it up, one of the number one cures for arthritis is movement. So I didn't want to get arthritic, and I wanted more movement. 15 years ago, I was having trouble sleeping on this shoulder right here, and it hurt. Sometimes it would hurt all day, especially if I did sleep on it and didn't realize I did, and it was bugging me, and I had limited movement in it. In fact, I could show you probably. There was a time when I would put it behind my back like this, and I couldn't get it any higher than my waist. That was all I could get out of it. And I would feel pain anytime I put it just right to there. Now, I can touch my fingers together, one arm over the other. And then I started having trouble with the other arm. I couldn't move it up. So then I started working on it, and now I can do this. Some of you are thinking, I could never do that. I never was able to do that. That's probably true. Some of you physiologically couldn't maybe do that. But when I was a kid, I could do that. I could turn myself into a pretzel. So I noticed that I was having trouble with that. So I started doing some exercises that were designed to help. I do these things. I do windmills. And I lay on the floor and I do windmills across my face. And I started doing things. I feel good. Na, 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 na. I know that I should. How many of you think that God wants you to feel good? Okay, and I know that some of you maybe it's too far gone now. Maybe it's too late. You know, it's already set in. You think you're never going to get back to that. But I've seen these guys on the internet who started just doing movement exercises, and all of a sudden they could stretch and do things. I've been seeing this one advertisement for a guy who wants to give me a way to be able to do the splits.
I'm thinking that would be pretty cool. Just get up one Sunday and just go, wah.
No. But, you know, it's interesting to do all that, and it's fixed my limited movement. And some of you will remember that right back here, I was chasing one of the kids one night in youth group. We were playing tag, and he zigged, and I zagged, and I missed him. But not only did I not go the right direction, I twisted my knee and smashed into the wall. And I got up, and I was limping. And then I was limping for quite a while. You may remember this testimony. We needed to do some carpet in the other room. And I said, Lord, if you heal me, I'll lay that carpet, the big carpet squares. And the Lord said, if you'll lay that carpet, I'll heal you. Okay, then. So I started going over there and gingerly bending down and laying carpet squares. It was an amazing thing that happened. The more I moved, the more I could move. I'm not saying that God doesn't want to heal supernaturally. We've seen him do that many times in this church, and I'm thrilled when God heals supernaturally. But in that case, he was trying to get me to learn something, and he was adding to my workout routine. So now I do little squats and, you know, other things to try to keep my knees in good shape. And I feel pretty good. So am I bragging? Well-timed. Actually, I kind of am, and I mean to be in a way. How many of you know that Paul did something similar in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? Go check it out yourself if you want to. Paul did some boasting, he called it. And Paul did his boasting to encourage believers to pursue the things of God. So if I'm boasting, it's only to encourage you that you too, by doing the good that you know to do, because if I don't do the good that I know to do, it is stupid. It's sin. Who am I sinning against? Me. I'm the one who, by not doing good, more often than not, has a problem. Sometimes it affects other people, but it definitely affects me. It definitely affects my life. So again, you may not need to stop drinking pop or start an exercise routine. But if you are aware of something that by doing it or by not doing it, that you are missing something, what would happen if you started doing that and it improved your life? What if it would improve your life? Back to this morning. It was comfy. I'm under the blankets. I wake up. I know I can get up, but I'm thinking if I close my eyes for just a little bit longer, maybe I'll fall back asleep because it's warm. Do I really need to get out of bed yet? And then I start thinking about, yeah, and now you're going to go preach that stupid message. No, it's not a stupid message. It's no sin to encourage us to do things that we need to do in our life. Now, I know I say this a lot. I'm just going to keep repeating it because I love it. God can't think of something stupid for us to do. Can't think of something stupid for me to do, and he can't think of something stupid for you to do. So if God's got this idea, and you know of the idea, if you've been presented with the idea, the concept, the precept, whatever you want to put on it, if you realize, gee, I could do this and it might help my life, is God going to be mad at you if you don't do it? I think sometimes God just looks down and goes, Tim, you're such a dork. You know better. And the question is, do I want to know better? Do I want to experience better? Here's some suggestions for y'all, all y'all. Maybe you don't need the exercise thing or whatever. Although I'm sure there are going to be some people who are going to be like, oh man, I wish he hadn't talked like that. Now I'm going to have to deal with that. But let me give you some simple suggestions that might be connected more toward our gathering together. For example, how about praise and worship? Do we do the things that the Scripture tells us to do in our times of praise and worship? Psalm 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. If you can shout at a football game, you can shout at church. Come on. Get excited. Psalm 95:6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Some of you know my wife had a knee replacement. That's not going to be something that she's going to kneel on right this minute. I know that they say people who have knee replacements can kneel on them, but she's still rehabbing that, even though it's been a while. She's worked on it, but she's tried to kneel on it, and it's not very nice. Okay, I get it. I'm not asking you all to kneel, necessarily. But if she does what she can do, then I believe that healing is more easily released to her for what she can't do. Does that make sense? If she just kind of tries to do what she can do, sooner or later, healing is released for what she can't do. When she first had that knee done, we were pretty sure that we wouldn't want to ever have a bedroom upstairs again. But guess what? We're just now finishing at the house that we bought that we're fixing up, a bedroom upstairs. And she's excited about it. Why? Because she can go up and downstairs now. And losing some weight helped. Doing the right things. Whose benefit is that for? It would be for hers. Is God going to be mad at her if we stay downstairs in one of the downstairs bedrooms? No. So who's excited about the upstairs bedroom? Who's looking forward to the new ensuite bathroom that's right next to the bedroom? Who's looking forward to two walk-in closets? I will get a corner someplace just for a few things. She will have it. No, she's... Stop. No, it's really going to be... In fact, she's given me the big closet. Well, there's... One has a kind of a... The way the roof line is. When I go in it, I have to tilt my head like this. Perfect for her. She can just walk in and out. 12 foot long. Anyway. Yeah, this is not for... God's not like... His day isn't ruined if she doesn't have a walk-in closet in the upstairs bedroom. God's day isn't ruined. Our sin, when we know to do good and we don't do it, our sin ends up doing damage to us more than anybody. Does this make sense? See, that's why we've got to get a grip on this. The Scripture actually indicates that God has already forgiven sin and is, according to Corinthians, not holding their trespasses against them. And it says the whole world. We have a message of reconciliation so people can take advantage of what's already been done for them. Jesus died for all the sins that will ever happen. Whether people will take advantage of that is another thing. But God's not worried about our stupid. But if we don't take care of our stupid, then stupid is as stupid does. We end up being the ones who lose out as a result of what we do or don't do that we know to do. Psalm 63, verse 4. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Have you ever been around somebody who, like, I'm not lifting my hands up. I don't do that. I'm not shouting. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get real demonstrative in my worship. I just don't do that. Okay. I've had people say to me, Pastor Tim, that's just not me. To which I reply that Colossians 3:3 says, you are dead. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. We used to sing that as hippies, by the way. That was really fun. We used to sing it out of the King James Version. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then it looked like this. Ye are dead. Ye are dead. Looked like we were doing jumping jacks. Well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You won't. You're being mean, Pastor. I know. Because I want you to get everything that God's got for you. There's something in all that that God created and told his people to do it for a reason, and it wasn't all about him. God is not selfish. God is not self-serving. God is wanting us to be released in the things that are good for us. I love that giggle. You ought to all be giggling like that. Remember when David's wife, Michal, gave him the stink eye? Well, that's not what it says in the scripture, but she wasn't very happy with him because he comes to Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant and he throws off his royal robes and dances in what some people claim was his underwear, but it was just undergarments. It wasn't. But, you know, royalty didn't do that stuff. Like, you couldn't be royal. It was beneath him to be throwing off his royal robe and dancing like a maniac in the street in front of the Ark of the Covenant as it came in. And she was unhappy and said, "You look foolish. The maidservants are looking at you like some kind of lunatic." His response, found in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 22, was, "And I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. For as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." By the way, the scripture then indicates that her attitude caused her to come to a place of fruitlessness, and she was barren all the days of her life. Do you want to take risk and maybe do something that might make you look a little undignified, but in the process of it, you experience something that you wouldn't experience otherwise, and as a result, you start to have these things that start to happen in your life because you know to do good and you decide to do the good, and you, by doing the good, you release something in your life that brings fruitfulness. Is that okay? Is that allowed? Well, but it's not me. You're dead. Don't forget, you're dead. And your life is hidden with Christ and God. And the life that we now live, we live unto God, the scripture says. Let's look at another area. We'll just move off of that. I'm going to really mess with you this morning. You ready? Here we go. Psalm 119, verse 46 says, "And I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." We ask for testimonies almost every Sunday, don't we? Mm-hmm. I love testimonies. You know, everybody has a testimony. Everybody has more than one testimony. If they would realize it, everyone has thousands of testimonies. Everybody should have a testimony just from this week. I'll bet you do if you really think hard about it. Has God been good to you at all this week? You know, your testimony might not be, "I went into the store and found a guy in a wheelchair and prayed for him and he got out of his wheelchair." It might not be, "Oh, I raised somebody from the dead." It might not be a big testimony at all. But if you're walking in the Spirit and sensitive all to the things of God, then there has to have been something that he's done for you, through you, with you, in the last few days, last few hours. The problem is, we don't know to be thinking about it sometimes. "But I don't do well getting up in front of people and talking." You are dead. You are dead. Sometimes, if I got up in front of people, it would kill me. You need to die. You probably do. Just go ahead. It's great. Join us. Die with us. Die daily. Maybe sharing your testimony is exactly what you need to do. "Well, if I got up there and tried to share my testimony, I'd probably just blubber and sob and all that." That'd be fine. Maybe that's what you need to do. And you look a little undignified. Hope we're back to that. How will we ever be able to boldly give our testimonies before kings if we can't boldly give our testimonies in front of people who love us? This church is full of people that love you. So if you get up and give your testimony, we're going to love it. Even if it seems a little weird. Have you ever heard anybody give a weird testimony? Yeah, sometimes you just have to, like, okay, I accept that that was powerful for you, and I want you to have those powerful things, and I want you to testify about it. Some of you may remember we've had the Bowmans in before. There's a skit that they do. And in the skit, Blaine is supposed to be like the preacher, and his wife is at, like, the keyboard player. And he says, hey, give a testimony, Christine. And she goes, it was so good to me. It took my skits and everything back. But it was like we were down. And then the Lord took it. And she does this thing, you know, that you can't. Have you ever heard anybody testify like that? You didn't know what they said, but it must have been good. They were getting ministered to. Yeah. Well, I don't have a testimony. Then go get one. Go get one. Do any of you get spam calls? I answer them. Oh, yeah, it's fun sometimes. I got a call the other day from David King. Mr. Hacker, I want to tell you that you have won Publishers Clearinghouse. Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, you've won $2.5, I can't do his accent very well, but $2.5 million and $5,000 a week. I said, well, I thought they wanted to come and surprise me. He goes, no, you won second place. They don't do it for second place. Tell you what, if you're giving me $2.5 million and $5,000 a week, I can be last place. I don't care. You show up at my door with a big check and you're for real, I'm going to dance. Oh, wait a minute. Do we do that in church? Anyway, yeah, he called me. And I love trying to find a way to squeeze in a word edgewise with these people and see if I can say, hey, bless you. So I try to speak something over them. And yeah, I played along for a while and listened and tried to, you know, I even wrote down he was giving me you know, like an ID number and then some other kind of number and then write down this number also. He had a good script, you know, trying to make it sound official. And so I was going along, and at one point he was just blabbering on and I had tried to say a few things, so I just began to pray for him. Lord Jesus, just bless David today. Really appreciate his calling. And then he was confused, and so then I stopped, and we talked a little bit, but we didn't really talk much because he was right back into it because he's got a script in front of him. It was going really, 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 really well until I heard the rooster crow in the background, and that got my attention to where I suddenly then went, a rooster just, and then before I could even process that, a sheep or a goat, I'm not sure which, started bleating. And then the rooster crowed again. And I'm like, this guy's in a village on the other side of the world, which I'm pretty sure he probably was. You know, he hadn't gotten to the point yet where he would, all I need now from you is your bank account number so I can put this directly into your bank account. He hadn't gotten to that part yet, but that's where he was headed. But when the sheep started bleeding, I started laughing. I couldn't help myself. I'm busting out laughing, and I said, I just heard a rooster crow and a sheep bleat in the background. He goes, no, those are just alarms on people's phones. I said, no, David, you're in a village on some other side of the world, and God bless you, man. Jesus loves you, click. That's my testimony. There you go. I just gave you my testimony. It was just something to make you laugh a little bit, but it's made me laugh because I've told several people over the last few days. I'm just having fun with it. It's like, and you know, he did get to hear Jesus loves you before it was all done. Who knows what may have happened? I can tell you that Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine. I had a merry heart after that encounter.
It's been feeling good all week.
There was one little moment there where, you know, the enemy came in.
Oh, if you hadn't laughed, you might have had a chance with him. Whatever.
I've laughed a lot. And poor David, I bet he was really frustrated. He was probably yelling at people, get those sheep out of here. I'm working here. Every day I look for an opportunity to encourage someone, to bless someone, to share a testimony with someone, to pray for someone or prophesy over someone. We talked about prophecy a couple weeks ago. You can all prophesy in edification, exhortation, and comfort. Speak with the breath of God on your words. And I write them down. The biggest problem I have is sometimes I just get busy and I don't write them down. And then it's like, I know I did something yesterday. Who was it I talked to? You know, I try to write everything down. And daily, sometimes multiple times a day, I get these opportunities to be with people and pray with people and do things. And a lot of them are not just because I'm the pastor. I'm looking for the opportunities. And I know as much as I know that doing this is good for others and good for the kingdom, it's good for moi. Good for me. I get built up. I get encouraged. I get fed. I get loved on. Sometimes not so much love from the people, but love from God. I know that I'm doing what he wants me to do. And when I know to do this and I don't do it, it's stupid. It's sin. If I know to do it and I don't do it, I'm missing out on what God has. And maybe I'm causing someone else to miss out, but yeah, I'm missing out on what God, I don't know what'll happen to David, but I know I got blessed. So let me end this today with a verse that is a whole message in and of itself, if you will. And I have actually preached on this little section of Scripture, three verses in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The King James, I think, says concerning you. God's not asking you to rejoice for his sake or for heaven's sake. He's not asking you to pray without ceasing for his sake or for heaven's sake. He's not asking you to give thanks in everything for his sake or for heaven's sake. For heaven's sake, he's trying to tell you ought to do this for you, concerning you. I'm not trying to get you to do all this out of selfishness, but what do you become when you start doing the things that you know to do? That you sometimes, yeah, I'll do that later. I don't have to do that. And you miss out on those opportunities. And maybe it's going to bring healing to you in a way you didn't expect. I would have rather had God just heal the shoulder. I actually was out in healing meetings a couple of times, praying that my shoulder would be healed. But my healing came through my listening to him and doing what I knew to do that was good. I mean, I think it's probably pretty good to do this. Pretty good. It's not an obligation, it's an opportunity. It wasn't an obligation that I had to go lay the carpet, but I started doing it. It was an opportunity, and I got healed. It's not something we have to do, it's something we get to do. It's not something that God wants us to do to benefit him, although it will benefit his kingdom if we do what he tells us to do. But he wants to benefit us within his kingdom so that we can be used to benefit the kingdom. God doesn't lose out when we sin. We lose out when we sin, and that's why it's so stupid. Don't be stupid. Now, I want to pray for you, but before I do that, I want to say that in a little bit, Mark's going to come back up here after we've dismissed the people online, and after we're all done with what we're doing, Mark's going to come back up here, and he's probably going to say, does anybody have a testimony? Unless he's having a hard time thinking of one this week, and then he's going to be like, I'm panicked. I got to testify now, Pastor Tim. No. No. I don't want you to feel obligated to testify. And if you take this wrong today, then everybody's going to be lined up. Oh, now we all got to go testify. Oh, man. Let me think of something. I don't know. I made it home from work. Hallelujah. I didn't preach this to make anybody feel like they have to do things. I preached it to make you hungry to do things. My hope, anyway. If you're still not there yet, I understand. I got to admit, the first time I got among some hippies raising their hands, I was kind of like, you know, they're all like this, and I'm kind of like, okay. Okay. You know, I get it. I get it. It's gonna be out of your comfort zone, but that's where I want you to go. I don't only want you to do that just here. Just here's a good place to practice it. You know, I've given you some scripture that says we're supposed to do this stuff. Just do it. We're gonna praise and worship here. The lights will go down. Won't be very many people paying attention to you. Most people have their eyes closed anyway. Focusing on God. You can just kind of go for it a little bit. Well, okay, maybe I'll try that hand-raising thing. You know, they've got a whole chart on that, by the way. You know, there are people who raise their hands in different ways. Cactus. I should have got that. I could have put that. I saw one the other day online. Made me laugh. But, yeah, I'm not trying to get everybody to do everything this morning all at once. But don't put this stuff off when the Lord begins to speak to you. You know, if you think I'm just irritating you, then take me out of the equation and ask God what he's doing. And if God's speaking to you, then listen to him. You don't have to pay any attention to me. If I'm speaking in behalf of God, then you probably, he's got something for you. And he wants to give you life, and that life more abundantly, more for you. So the longer we wait, the more we miss out. I just really want you to be the one who knows the better that God has for you. Knowing better, experiencing better. It doesn't have to all happen at once. I doubt that any of you will, you know, go from to full growth during praise and worship today, and then God will just rapture you because you get your own private rapture. I don't think it's going to happen like that. It's going to take some time. But God wants to bless you, and he wants you knowing better in your life. Amen? All right. We're going to pray. When we're done praying, the group that's watching online, we'll see you later. And then we're going to get into the rest of what we're doing today. So, yeah, let's just take a little risk here. See if you can grab somebody's hand or put your hand on somebody's shoulder. Get near somebody. Yeah, I know. Oh, Pastor, come on. That's just, I don't know if that's, I feel awkward. You'll be all right. All right, good. Yeah. John's wife left him, went over there. Be with my wife. All right. So we're praying for one another, but I'm praying for you, and you kind of just receive, but at the same time, just believe for the person who you're touching right now. Father God, we want to know better. We don't want to be guilty of the sin of omission, not doing the things you've given us to do. When we know something that you want us to do and we don't do it, we miss out. And maybe others miss out too, but God, we want to be sensitive to your spirit. We want to listen to your voice. We want to see you move in us to do things that maybe we never thought we would do or never thought you would ask us to do. But I believe, God, you can do all things through all of the people in this room and anybody who might be listening online. You can use all of this Give us a hunger to see you do great things and to get to participate in those things with you, because we do those things that we know we ought to do. We know better now, Lord. So we ask you to let that knowledge of better just soak into us and create a hunger. May it grow. May it just increase. May we be more hungry than ever before to see you do great things. In Jesus' name, amen.